Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
It's my honor and privilege to have my father here. Now, and my stepmom, I just want to just give you some background. When I was 2 years old, my parents were in the middle of a divorce and my dad got saved. Radically saved. And it was his influence between Spokane and San Francisco and then Salem and the different places Dad was. It was his influence on summer breaks, on spring breaks, passionate for the Lord. I remember as a small kid walking in to the bathroom and my dad's laying on his face with the Word open and his journal out, crying out to God. And he is the reason why I'm a believer. His influence in my life was radical for me. In fact, so much so that when my life fell apart and I was struggling with addiction, struggling just to hold myself together, it was my dad who heard the Holy Spirit and called me. Said, "Hey, Chris," I was getting kicked out of the house that I was in because I had blown all of me and my, at the time, fiance's money on worldly ways. Just say that. She was like, "I've had enough of you, you're out." And it was my dad who, in the middle of the fight, calls me. And I go, "My dad doesn't usually call me, hang on." I pick up the phone. He says, "Chris, the Holy Spirit told me that I need to call you. Do you need a place to stay?" "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do." And I made the long drunken drive, unfortunately, showed up at Dad's house several hours later after stopping at a few bars in my pain, and then a few days later gave my life to Christ at the same church that I'd grown up in. Yep. So you'll see up on the screen, it says refuge for healing. That's my dad and my stepmom. They're the refuge for healing for me. So I asked Dad and Rana to come up, Marty and Rana, to come up and pray a father's blessing over this house. What we're doing here is an inheritance that they gave me. If you don't realize it, like what they did for me is why I'm in ministry, it's why I'm a believer. And so come on all the way up, and Mika, will you join me up here? So I'm elated. So that's a little bit of the story, but I'll let you share, Dad. Thanks.
God radically got a hold of my life, 1979. I don't have time to tell my whole testimony, but...
Share what's on your heart, Dad.
I was in the middle of sin, and... in the middle of breaking up a marriage. We had an open marriage and we were going out on one another, and finally God opened my eyes to the truth that Jesus is the Lord, and I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And through many circumstances and different events, like Chris has shared about his life, God got a hold of me. And with that, a growth process started with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The Word of God's got to be central in each one of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God, I got filled with the Holy Spirit within, I think, 6 months of receiving the Lord. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and allowed the Lord to mm-hmm. speak through you in a new language, today might be the day. Because he's always willing to be poured out. Mm-hmm. And we've done ministry. We've been on the mission field for 9 years in Kazakhstan. Some of the important years when Chris was growing up, we weren't close. But I'm just so thankful of what God has done in my son and his wife and all of the family here. This is truly family. Well, I walked in the door, I said, "Hey, these are my people," you know. So I'm just excited, and my wife, who's been at my side this journey, mm-hmm. trying to be a stepmom to a little rebellious kid here that God
Who,
got
me?
A hold
what?
Of. Yeah, this guy. And I just truly want to pray not only a blessing for my son and his wife, and but all of you. Because I don't know if you've gone through a period of dryness, a period of not knowing that the Lord was there, maybe having doubts about where your relationship was and what you, is your father, does your father really love you? Some of us have, many of us have had father issues, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And it's been distant or absent, right? I mean, there's healing that has come in many of your lives, but there's probably a lot more.
Amen.
And I just want to know, I want you to know that our Father God has us in the palm of his hand, mm-hmm. and he won't let us go. And there may be a time of dryness, a time of where is God? Wondering, having doubts, having fears that God doesn't love you, that he's not going to forgive your sin. But Jesus did it all. He did it all.
Come on, Dad.
The blood of Jesus covers it all. There's nothing that he can't and won't forgive. And so we're grateful. And let's just bless. I want to bless this couple. Rana, why don't you? Gather
yeah.
around here.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Where are we going?
Yeah. Perfect. Great.
Heavenly Father, yeah. I thank you and praise you, glorious King, Almighty God. We just turn to you and worship. You are Lord God Almighty. Lord, there's none that you can't change. There's nothing that you can't do to bless your people and to set us on fire for you. And allow your Holy Spirit to be poured out. So I pray for Chris and Mika. There would be so much anointing of your Spirit upon them that your love will just flow through them, all the leadership of the church, all of the attendees here that will know the love of God that has been poured out upon us so freely. We give you all the praise and the glory and your blessings. Lord, the blessings of Abraham come upon us because we're of faith. And it's faith that moves your heart, Lord. And we thank you that we believe you, we love you, and we praise you. So let this blessing come upon Chris and Mika and all of this family here. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You got anything to say, Rana? I feel like you do.
Oh, I always have something to say. But we all know that Jesus is our only hope, and he's more than enough. And he will never leave us or forsake us, no matter how dark it gets. So we're never alone. I'm just so grateful that he found me and brought me to himself, because for some reason, he wants a relationship with each one of us.
Yeah, come on, thank you. Awesome. Awesome. We give him a hand. If you don't know me, my name's Chris. I'm the senior leader here, and it's my honor and privilege to be with you today. And again, if you're here with us for the first time, we call, we pray. And then if you're interested in getting information, we send out a weekly newsletter thing, but it's totally up to you, but we do want to connect with you. We are in our series on the cultures and values of Harvest Valley. It's really important to know how it is that we're to do a thing. It's one thing to know what to do, but it's a different thing to know how to do it. And this is something that I think is absolutely critical for the life of the believer. If we don't understand how God wants us to love people, we're actually going to hurt people. If we don't understand how to communicate, we're going to hurt people. Okay, so it is important for us to know how to be as a people of God. And so we have some values. These are our main values. These are the core fundamental things that everything circles around. Number one is character. How many of you enjoyed Paul Edwards' sermon last week on character? Paul did great, and we're super grateful. I preached earlier on communication and excellence and loyalty and stewardship. All of these messages are online at hvwc.com or our YouTube page. You can find it pretty easily. Just search it. And then we've got some keys, what we call cultural keys. These are keys to the culture. Now, these are aspects of our culture that reveal the love and the power of God. The first one's empowerment. We want to have a culture of empowerment. What that means is that if you feel called to lead, we want to empower you, teach you, train you, equip you, so that you're able to do everything that God has put in your heart to do. And we also do that in a way that hopefully keeps you and the other people around you safe. Okay? Because a leader that is selfish hurts people. So we have to learn humility and teachability and how to be faithful and available to the work of God. And then we've got forgiveness. Micah Snyder preached an amazing sermon on forgiveness, which we're so grateful for. Next week, you will hear from Miss Anna Lee on intimacy. Okay, and intimacy with God and intimacy with each other, which is really, it's about, can we be open and honest? Can we take the mask off with each other? Can we have conversations that are real with each other? So that's really important. I'm going to be ending the series in a couple of weeks on love. On the week, Thanksgiving week, we're going to talk about love. I've talked about passion and zeal. The Word of God says, be zealous to do a good thing always. And so there's a zeal and a passion that we have to live in and we have to operate in order to see God move. And then trust. And trust is a choice. Trust is a choice. And we choose to believe the best in people, to trust that God is working it out, to trust that God is doing something that maybe I can't even see. And so we learn how to trust one another. And guess what? Trust is messy. Right? Trust is messy, but we learn how to do that. We have a phrase here that you might hear today. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We're not just the people that talk about it. We live that because we trust that God is doing something in you even when I can't see it. Even when your behavior is sideways, I'm going to trust that God is moving in you, and we're going to walk alongside you.
Amen.
You cannot mess this up. You can't mess it up. All right. I know I saw hamster wheels running on that one. I mess it up all the time. No, actually, you can't mess it up because we choose to trust that God is bigger than you.
Amen.
Today, we're going to talk about stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship is managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. Managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. I'll just tell you, Jesus talked a lot about stewardship. Okay, he talked a lot about it. And there's some parables in Scripture. First is in Matthew. I'm just looking at Matthew and Luke. You'll see five different passages here where Jesus talks about stewardship in great detail as parables. And then, of course, he teaches from those parables. And then in Luke, we see four more passages on stewardship. Okay? Today, we're going to focus on one of the parables. But let me just start real quickly to say this. Jesus takes stewardship seriously. He talked about it a lot. He takes stewardship seriously. So let's talk about stewardship. In the Greek, the word stewardship, well, I'll get there in a minute. Let's start with the parable. This is the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Okay? In the New King James Version, it says this. Verses 14 and 15, Matthew 25, 14 and 15, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Another word for servant is steward. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So one of the questions, what's a talent? Because I got talents. I mean, there's talent shows in school. I tried to play instruments when I was younger. That was, people think that if you've worked for 25 years on an instrument, you have a talent. No, you have a skill that you've developed over time. Let's just be clear, okay? Now, a talent here is not that. We're not talking about that. A talent is worth, in today's language, it's silver, and it's worth about $1 million. So when we think about a talent in the New Testament, this was extreme wealth that is being stewarded. Okay? So we see that there's 2 servants, right, or stewards, and these stewards, one gets 5 talents, the other gets 2 talents, and then we have one steward that gets 1 talent. What would you do with $1 million? As a steward, what would you do with $1 million? Immediately, we all think about ourselves. What could I do with $1 million? But as stewards, we're actually thinking about what does the master want us to do with the funds, right? It's not about us, right? We're thinking about what he wants to do, and we have 2 stewards that go, and they trade, and they invest their money, and they end up, after however long the master's away, they end up with 100% return on it. They doubled it. Pretty good trading, investing, working, making sure that that money created something bigger than what was there when they started. And of course, we see the one guy in the parable, one guy goes and buries it in the ground, puts it underneath his mattress, to put North Idaho terms on it. So one steward doesn't do anything with it, and the other 2 take some risks. They go, and in their stewardship, they're actually working and doing things to let what they receive, $5 million and $2 million, they're working that in order for it to become something greater. Okay? Now, when the master of the house, when the man comes back, and the stewards show him their returns and how they did, the 2 who took some risks, they were rewarded. And he says to each of them, right? One with the 2 and the one with the 5, he says to each of them, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Well done. You doubled it, well done. You did something with it, well done. The one that didn't take any risk was called a wicked and lazy servant. He was called wicked and lazy. Woo! Giddy up. All right, so let's talk about this word stewardship in the Greek. The word stewardship in the Greek is the word oikonomia. I nailed it. Managing a household. Okay, it means managing a household, right? This is management. This is administration. This is where a person looks after another person's affairs. Okay? This is about resource management. First point that I want to make today is everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Now, if I look up this word Lord in the Greek, it's the word kurios. He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. Another word might be a master. Another word might be Lord. The possessor and disposer of a thing. He can keep it or get rid of it. He's got the power to do both. And the owner, one who has control of the person, the master. Okay. So, this concept of Lord is really important because Lord equals ownership. He owns it all. He owns it all. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves in moments like this is, are you the owner or the steward? Are you the owner or the steward? Are you the owner of what all of your hard work brought you? Or are you a steward of your time, talent, resources, and it is all the Lord's? It's a good question to ask. Point number two today, faithfulness is required of a steward. Faithfulness is required of a steward. All right, so in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says this, and this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience is another word for long-suffering, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Some of us, including myself, have a very hard time staying disciplined in a thing. Oh, you want me to wake up at the same time every day and read the scriptures and pray and do all that? Maybe for a week, maybe two. And then all of a sudden, I'm grinding to a halt, and I'm more concerned about how hot the shower is going to be this morning because I'm tired. When's the coffee on, right? Those are my first thoughts sometimes. Is that just me? Okay. All right, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. You're like, oh, pastor's messed up. You know, no, we all struggle with discipline on some level. We all struggle with the ability to be faithful. And we have to understand our ability to be faithful comes from the Holy Spirit. That means that you're allowing God to work in you to do something that is not natural to you. It's not natural to us, right? So faithfulness is a gift of and a fruit of the Spirit, okay? Now, faithfulness is not what we believe, but how we live in response to what we believe. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says it this way, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Let me just say this. Sometimes we think of faithful as in like we're full of faith. But that's not the type of faith that we're talking about. We're not talking about your ability to believe his word or in healing or in any of the other things that you're believing God for. This isn't faithfulness. Faithful is a different word. This word faithful is about how do we live in response to what we believe. Now there are things that we're all passionate about something. Every one of us. Some of us are passionate about college football. We spent a long day. That's something Dad and I kind of enjoy together, right? So we spent all day watching football, and my love tank is full. I'm just telling you right now. It's good. Okay, we got to watch some football. It was great. And the Ducks won. Hallelujah. The Beavers won. Okay. I'm sorry, Washington State. Man, they are on a slide. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Okay, so we're going to talk about holy things now. So the reality is that each of us are passionate about something. Some of us are passionate. We're zealous for our families. We're zealous in something. There's something that kind of burns in our heart that we're like, ooh, I absolutely love that. And what you believe about that will often show up with how you're faithful to it. Do you love your spouse? If you really love your spouse, you might be faithful to your spouse. If you love your children, you're probably going to be faithful to your children. If you have a great friend and they're in need, you're probably faithful to your friend. So we live in response to what we believe. Now, in Proverbs 25:19, it says this, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Let me read it again. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. When we entrust something to someone who is unfaithful, it feels like a tooth that needs a root canal. So when we put our trust in someone who's unfaithful, it's painful. It hurts. We being the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, hey, some of you are an eye, some of you are a limb, some of you are a hand, some of you are the big toe. Some of you are a bad tooth. Some of us bring joy to the body, and others are in your unfaithfulness are like creating pain. Is that too hard of a word this morning? The point being that God honors faithfulness. Why? It models who he is. He is faithful in all things. And because he is faithful, he says, listen, son, I want you to be faithful the way I'm faithful. Because I don't want you to be a toothache for somebody. I don't want people to limp around because you're the ankle that's out of joint. See, faithfulness is required of a steward. Okay. So, of course, remember, it's a fruit. So if you're struggling in that, ask the Holy Spirit to work on you, to work on your heart, to help develop that and build that in you. Amen? Okay, good. Good. You're with me. Stewardship is about everything. It's not just money. It's about everything. And I can't say this enough. If he is Lord of all of it, we are stewards of everything. It's not our resources, it's the Lord's. So, he says that we are called to be stewards in every area of our lives. Will you say that with me? Every area? Every area. Every area. Thank you. Tell somebody near you, every area. Okay, so you don't get to be owner of some of it and then give something to God over here, which we're good at. We're good at that. I mean, we're really good, but I'm going to keep my time. I'm a man. I'm going to steward my time for me, but I'm not going to let God direct it. I'll be in control. And then over here, we're like, okay, well, God, I'll give you Sunday mornings. Right? So it's everything, everything. Stewardship is about everything. So it's about your finances, right? These are your physical resources. Let me just say this real quick. Stewardship is about tithing, right? The tithing is simply, God, I'm going to give you the first 10% so that you can redeem the 90%. That's the principle of the tithe. It's not because we need your money. God's the provider for this house. Okay, tithing is about you walking in God's redemptive power in your finances. Now, the other thing is that it's about taxes. Can you steward well in the current governmental system that we have, or do you avoid that? Is everything you do under the table, or are you honoring the Lord? Taxes. Time is a finance and a resource. Where are you investing your time? Where you invest your time matters. Next, relationships, right? These are your family, your friends, right? This is parenting, marriages, right? Are you struggling in your marriage? Maybe we need to steward it better. Shut off the TV. Have a conversation. Put your phone down. Instead of sitting in the same room staring at your phones together, put your phone down and have a conversation, right? Steward your marriage better, right? Same thing with parenting. We can go down the list here. One of the things that's interesting to me is that our relationships have to be entrusted to the Lord because they're his. So when we can entrust our relationships to the Lord, we recognize I never get to control somebody else. I don't get to control other people. We have the privilege of stewarding somebody's heart. And if you look in your marriage as stewarding each other's hearts, it looks very different than I'm in charge, do what I say. On both sides of that coin. Okay. Now, let's talk about your mind. Your mind is when you choose, stewarding your mind is choosing to allow scripture and your personal encounters with the Lord to shape your thoughts and reactions instead of your wounds and fears shaping your thoughts and reactions. Allowing the word of God and his presence in your life to shape how you respond. How do we think? Are we thinking the way that God thinks? Because I have to have a renewed mind in order to think his way. And that stewarding our mind means that I'm getting the word of God in me. I'm seeking his presence. I'm seeking to hear his voice even as I read the word of God. It's called the doctrine of illumination. It's when you open up the scriptures and you read it and then boom, something, spirit lights it up on the inside of you. Right? And you're like, oh, that's totally me for right now. Like what Mika prayed this morning during worship. That lit off the page. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Okay? Let's talk about our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. So scripture clearly says you don't even get to control your own body. Whew, that's a rough one, but we're talking about purity. We're talking about honoring the Lord with what we do with our activities. Maybe it's your diet. Maybe it's your capacity, right? Maybe you need to make a change in your physical being so that you have more capacity to do the things that God's asked you to do. Stewarding your body. And then, of course, the presence of God. I think we have to have daily encounters with the living God. Even if that's just you pop open your Bible and you pray for a moment. Every time you open scripture, you should be having an encounter with the living God. This should not be something that you do just because somebody told you it was a good idea. Every time you open the scripture, you get to have an encounter with the living God. There is a breath coming off of those pages that will change your life. Have a daily encounter with the Lord. Okay. Of course, everything. Right? Final point, everything. Let me say this, stewardship is relative. Stewardship is relative, and I think this is important because sometimes we get in a comparison game. Anybody do that where you're comparing with somebody else? Oh, they're managing a lot of wealth. I'm not managing any. They have blessing after blessing after blessing, and I'm over here twiddling my thumbs and running in circles. Right? What's going on with this? Well, notice that some he gave five, some he gave two, and then some he gave one. Notice also that the ones he gave more to did more with it, and the one that he gave one to didn't do anything with it. Listen to this. Matthew, we're going to pick back up on this parable of the talents, okay? We're picking back up here. Matthew 25. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation now instead of the New King James. Verse 14 says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his stewards, his servants, and entrusted. Say entrusted. His money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The word entrusted is parathizome, and it means this, from close beside. So when he entrusts something, when he says it is close beside, it means that he is giving or turning over. He is handing it over from next to you. He is delivering it over to you with a sense of close personal involvement. So this word entrusted isn't just like I trust you with it, but it's like, will you partner with me and my will in what I'm entrusting you with? Does that make sense? Okay, now the other word here that we look at is this concept of proportion to their abilities. Not everyone's stewardship is the same. Not everyone will have the same amount of responsibility, authority, finances as a manager of God's resources. What we do with what we have is critical. to opening the doors of blessing and favor in our lives, or it will cost us dearly. In the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, Jesus makes the point in verse 10 of Luke 16. He says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." If you can't manage or steward the little that you have now, God's not going to entrust more to you. That's Jesus saying that. It's not me. That's Jesus saying that. And Jesus isn't the fluffy preacher we think he was. Just wasn't. Just wasn't fluffy. Wasn't fluffy, and it's about to get worse. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. God rewards good stewards. This is the point I want you to take home with you. God rewards good stewards. God entrusts and he tests and he rewards stewards. That's why we talk about the tithe being a test. Right? If you're curious about that, just look that. What Test is the name of the sermon online in our Blessed Life series from last year. It's right on our website. You can find it really easily. But let me just say this. Almost every time you see the number 10, it includes a test. Almost every time. How many commandments? How many trials did the Israelites go through in the wilderness? 10. Okay. We can go on and on. All right. One of the realities is that notice that the master gave, entrusted a proportion to their ability. He entrusted $5 million, $2 million, and $1 million. He entrusted the talents to them, and then he went away. Took off. "I'll be back later. Good luck. May the Lord bless you." Leaves. And then he comes back to take an account for what they did while they were gone, while he was gone. He took an account later. So oftentimes, what we do with the little that he's entrusted to us matters, and it's a test to see how did you do while he's letting you steward it. He's letting you make choices. He's letting you figure it out. Our ability to steward what the Lord has given us is critical. Many people, many of us live life by the seat of our pants. We struggle with a budget. We struggle trying to steward the things that we have. And some of us would even say that we're stewarding just as the Spirit leads us. And I would say that is a form of stewardship. It is a form of stewardship just to be like, I'm just going to give where the Spirit tells me to give. I'm going to do whatever the Spirit tells me to do. But it is a test. So if over an extensive period of time you have not seen increase and you're still in the same place where you are, you might be deceived. You might be deceived that you're not actually listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to your own wisdom and calling it God. Sometimes we do that. We're easily deceived. And we're really good at deceiving ourselves, right? We paint ourselves in the best light. When we look in the mirror, we're like, I'm pretty good. I'm not that bad. I know I messed that up, but I didn't mean to. Right? And then somebody does something bad, and we look at them, and we go, you shouldn't have done that. We're not even like, oh, they had good motive. Right? We judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves according to our intentions. Right? And that equals deception. We don't see ourselves clearly because we justify and dismiss all of our failures. And then sometimes we'll even try to spiritualize our failures as if it was God. When it wasn't. Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make here. If you notice that you don't see an increase with the resources you are giving over time, perhaps you are managing by ownership, by your own desire, calling it the Holy Spirit, because we're good at deceiving ourselves. The reason why I'm putting this out there today is because God wants it all. And he's not willing for you to stay deceived. Are you with me? He's not willing for you to stay deceived. He's not willing that we continue to mismanage the 1 million that he gave us on our own desire, on our own pleasure, and call it God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor is preaching today. It is so good. It's great. I love it. Oh, man. Over and over, Jesus gives tests to the stewards, and he talks about this over and over in his parables. And those who do well with what they are given are always given an increase. We don't see any time where Jesus uses this parable and a good steward, it goes without. A good steward doesn't get increase, right? Those who are not good stewards will be corrected by the Lord. You don't have to do it for your friend. I don't have to do it for you. The Holy Spirit is really good at correcting us if we're willing to listen. So it's not my job to tell you, you must be a bad steward because you're still struggling financially. That's garbage. That's not from the Lord. And that's not our culture here. We're going to believe God with you. We're going to support you. We're going to help you. And if I notice over and over that you're deceiving yourself, I might ask a question or two to be like, tell me how you thought that through. Why did you do that? What happened there? You know, but 90% of the time, I just sit back and watch and bless and pray and watch God work things out. And people walk in a level of blessing because God is doing the work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. None of you are. We get to lovingly walk with each other and support and encourage one another by advocating for each other's success, not calling you out or as a failure or as anything like that. That's ridiculous. We don't do it here. Amen? Giddy up. All right, let's do this. The parable of the stewards ends with those who did well receiving more. Those who did not do well, they are no longer entrusted with resources. Now, I put this up here so that you might read it. Jesus ends this parable of the talents and teaches this lesson to the disciples. He says this, "For everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have," say it with me, "abundance." Okay, I'm going to start over. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thanks, Jesus. Woo, it's a tough word. It's a tough word, but let me just tell you this. Let me tell you. Stewardship is managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. He is more interested in you being a good steward, being faithful, and walking in an abundant reward than you being cast out. That's a warning, not a promise. You hear that? And no matter where you're at, he can redeem you now. No matter what's going on in your life, if your stewardship has been bad, he can flip it all in a moment. In a moment. Again, stewardship is managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. And what I want to say is the heart's cry of a good steward, someone who is a good steward, is, God, it will never be mine. It will always be yours. My wife will never be mine. She's not a possession that I get to have. She'll never be mine, God. She will always be yours, and I'm a steward in this relationship. My kids, God, they'll never be mine, God. They'll always be yours. They'll always be yours, and I get to steward them as a father. My church family, God, it'll never be mine. It'll always be yours. My good friends, they'll never be mine, God. They'll always be yours. My finances, my breakthroughs, they'll never be mine. They'll always be yours. And when we get our hearts rooted in His love, when we get our hearts grounded in His ability to provide for us, we will recognize it will never be mine. It will always be His. It will never be mine. It will always be His. And the more you allow your heart to cry out in the reality and say, God, it will never be mine. It will always be yours. That is the place where He will move extravagantly in your life. God is asking each of us, amen. God is asking each of us to realign. He is asking us to realign every area of our lives to be good stewards of what He has entrusted to us. He wants us to realign every area that He's given to us that we might be good stewards over what He has given us. Every area. There is nothing outside of His ownership. Remember, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to Him. It's all His. It's all His. It's all His. It'll never be mine, God. It will always be yours. The biggest question we have to ask ourselves today is, Jesus Lord of your life? Because if He's not Lord, we're having an empty conversation. We're having an empty conversation. If He's not Lord and you don't believe it's actually His resources, that it's actually His blessing, that it's actually Him that we're managing things for, if you don't understand His lordship in your life, it's impossible to steward it for somebody else. And God is good in all things, and He rewards those who believe Him. He has a life for us that is greater than many of us have experienced to this point. And our ability to steward what He has entrusted to us is based on whether or not He is Lord of our life. If you'll all stand with me as we close out our time today. Today, you may be looking at your own life and struggles and know that God has more for you than the life that you have lived to this point. We know that there will be trials, there will be tests, there will be struggles, but when He owns it all, we enter into His divine favor as we walk according to His word, not according to our circumstances and our own reasonings. When you are a steward, you are given a divine empowerment to manage His resources. And if there's loss, it's not yours, it's His. Let me say it again. If there's loss, it's not yours, it's His. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank You for each person in here. And I declare right now that that spirit that has blamed You for the problem, that has blamed God for lack and for loss and for pain, I thank You that that spirit is leaving many of us right now in Jesus' name. God, You are good and it's all Yours. And so we entrust the pain to You. We entrust the losses to You. We entrust the trial and the struggle to You. Because God, You've called us just to steward what You've given us. And Father, I thank You that You are only giving good gifts to Your children. If we ask for bread, You will not give us a stone. You're not going to give us a snake. You're not going to give us pain and suffering. Your word is clear that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Lord, I'm asking that today everyone here would make you Lord of their life. If that's you today and you'd say, you know, Chris, I've tried to live for God many different times. I've tried many different ways, but I don't know if I've ever actually made him Lord of my life. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're making that commitment today, you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, just where you're at, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to make you Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. For those that raise your hand today, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We make you Lord. We make you Lord. I thank you, God, that whatever we have done up to this point, you're washing it under your blood as we ask forgiveness. Where we have gotten it wrong, where we were the owners and not the stewards, God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you would wash that from us and cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts, because God, you speak of a better thing. In you, there is an abundant life for us. I'm going to ask the altar ministry team to come up. We have people that will come up here that are willing and open and available to pray with you, to pray with you, to spend some time with you. If you are asking for help in this area, or if there's any other trial or struggle that you have in your life, our altar ministry team is here to minister to you. So God, we cry out to you this morning. We repent for taking ownership and not stewarding well. I thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, God, that you are the one who releases debt. You are the one who says, come, enter into my favor. And we take everything that we've held on to and we give it back to you right now in Jesus' name. We give it back to you right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that you are moving in every heart, that we might be the best managers of your resources. We entrust it all to you, and we can walk by faith when we can't see clearly, knowing that because it's yours, you're about to do something amazing. And when the enemy comes in, I thank you that your spirit puts up a wall against him. We cast off all condemnation and shame today. And we ask, Holy Spirit, will you come and minister your love and your power and your grace to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.